Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. It is the Fan Upstate. Texter said, Rob, I normally disagree with you, but I totally agree with you about Mike Evans. Yeah, man, just stick that dude. Don't let him have the record. Not against you. Should have got it somewhere else.
Doing all that you say they should have done, he still would have got the record before the game was over.
Right. You understand. I'm only saying do that on one play. Do it on a play that doesn't matter. The game's over. You can't win.
The game didn't matter.
It
mattered to one team.
The game mattered a lot.
It mattered to one team, yeah, for sure, but not to the other.
It mattered a lot. And again, here's the other part of a rivalry. If I can stop you from getting into the playoffs, I'm coming for you, bro. I'm getting it. That's it. And for the record, I kind of enjoyed the game because Spencer Rattler and the boys came to win. They were balling out. Just Tampa was better. But no, you're not, like, if I can stop you from getting it, you're not getting it. Texter said, I'm listening, Poppy. And that is not my wife's number. I leaned in real close to Jeff. I don't know why I would think for a second it is. She's never called me that in my
Poppy?
Life.
Poppy? Is that like a like grandpa kind of?
No, what Poppy, is Poppy. Poppy is daddy in Spanish.
Oh,
like, I, Poppy.
So P-A-P-I.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Oh, no. It says, I'm listening, Papa. Why is that worse? That's worse.
Well, maybe
that's
that
hurts my feelings.
See really well with what you're wearing.
No, it's just
eyes.
It's so far away.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Texter said, thank you for using logic, my man. Texter said, why? Still asking why. No answer why. They did not just give it to him. Yeah, they did. Texter said, you're contradicting yourself. The game matters or it doesn't. You say it didn't matter. So what if they play a normal defense? Based on your logic, they should have quad covered Evans for 60 minutes. Furthermore, why do you care so deeply that the guy gets his bag? This is not a Michael Strahan situation. All right, I'm breaking this one down, and then I'm moving on because we got to get to the water cooler cheat sheet.
It's a great point, by the way, because if it was, they would have played 10 back.
Nope.
They would have played 10 back and said, go ahead and get it.
Nope. Here's what I'm saying. On that, you know, the last play of the game was out of reach. It did not matter. The score, it's not that the game didn't matter. The game did matter. They clearly meant something because the Saints were leading that game for like 3.5 quarters before Tampa just got them as a better team at the end. For 3.5 quarters, we tried to win the game. When this play happened, the game was over. So the outcome was no longer in doubt. Tampa won that game. So if they win it by 7 more points or 14 or 21, who cares? You want to put a stake in them? Keep their boy from getting that bonus. Keep their boy from getting the bag. Why? Because football. When the game was in doubt, you can't quad cover a guy because they'll score every play. We're trying to win the game. But when we can no longer win the game, the game is over. You can't get it back. Now I'm going to try to do the most painful thing would have been what? Beat the Buccaneers. Falcons beat Carolina. Tampa's knocked out of the playoffs. That's the most painful thing you can do to them. Once that's over and they're going to the playoffs, it's inevitable. They've won the game. What's the second most painful thing you can do? Stop their favorite guy from getting his thing. This is just rivalry. It's just rivalry. All right. We got a lot more we got to get to, a lot more to talk about. That texter said, the honesty is appreciated. You're good in my book. Wish I could have called in. Your show was great. Thank you, texter. For the record, it's just fun. All right? Just good old-fashioned, harmless fun.
I don't know. You don't look like you're having fun.
I'm a little heated. I'm a little pissed about my team. I really am. I'm a little heated. So we should calm it down with a nice, refreshing glass of water from the water cooler. Cheat sheet. You see what I did there? A segue. That's pretty good.
I thought you were going to hurt yourself the way you nodded your head.
That's pretty good. I needed this on the page there, you know? It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know on this Monday, January 6th, 2025. Let's get to it. Let's dive right in with item number one. We start in the PGA Tour, as you all knew we were going to. It's the biggest news of the day. Hideki Matsuyama opened the new season as the PGA Tour got started this weekend. Hideki Matsuyama outpaces Colin Morikawa by 3 shots to open up winning tournament number one. Now, that's fine. That's not the story. The story is that at the Century, Hideki Matsuyama had 35 holes at birdie or better to finish 35 under par. Those are both PGA Tour records. 35 out of 72. That is almost a 50% rate of birdie or better. If you're not a golf guy, I don't really know how to explain to you what that is, what that means, how that looks. That's not incredible. That's something more than incredible. I don't really know what to like, what analogy. You know, I am undefeated at analogies. I'm perfect at it. Every analogy I've ever made, chef's kiss, spot on, perfect. 100 out of 100, 5 stars, no questions. Okay. 100% nail every single analogy. Every one of them. I don't have one for this. I just don't. A baseball player hitting a home run every other game, maybe. About as good as I could go with. An NFL player, like a quarterback throwing for 3 touchdowns and running for 2 like Bryce Young did this weekend, but doing it every other game. Like that, I don't know what to tell you. It's a ridiculous number. Anyway, $3.6 million to Hideki Matsuyama for his 11th career victory. Pretty solid day. Pretty solid. Now, he got a little help. It was a wide-open plantation-style course. It's supposed to be filled with wind. It was a very lovely weekend at the Century, and he took advantage. And for me, that's what I'm looking for here. Like I've said before, I like watching PGA Tour events where the course is kicking guys' ass so they struggle, so that they look like me when I'm out there hacking it up.
You said filled with wind.
Like me when I'm out there. We didn't get that. It was a nice day. It was a nice weekend. Hideki Matsuyama was an absolute legend in that one. Item number two. Today in the NFL calendar is a day that is colloquially known as Black Monday. Today is the day that we will find out many, not all, but many of the NFL franchises that will dispatch their current head coach and begin the quest for a next. We'll keep an eye on that.
If we have breaking news today, instead of using the breaking news sounder, I'm going to use that.
I accept. That is for today. Yeah. That is an acceptable substitution. We will find out if anybody gets the pink slip during the course of this show. However, we know the New England Patriots will not be firing their head coach today because they fired him yesterday. Gerard Mayo beats the Buffalo Bills. Now, in fairness, the Bills had nothing to play for. The Bills were playing for a 2 seed. You ready for my conspiracy theory of the day? You want to know why Gerard Mayo got fired? Now, there's 2 possible explanations to this. Possible explanation numero uno is that the Patriots want Mike Vrabel. That the Patriots went, we should have got Mike Vrabel last year. We had the opportunity. We passed on Mike Vrabel. We went and got Jerod Mayo. And here's the thing. Mike Vrabel is considered the headrunner for like a couple of other jobs. The rumor is the Jets are interested in Mike Vrabel. The rumor is the Bengals are interested in Mike Vrabel. There's a few other teams that are interested in Mike Vrabel. But Mike Vrabel is, of course, a former New England Patriot. So was Jerod Mayo. They passed on Vrabel last time. They got Jerod Mayo. The rumor right now is that they are going effectively, we may only have this chance to get Mike Vrabel, right? If we give Jerod Mayo a second year and it doesn't work out, Vrabel might be in Cincinnati or New York or Chicago or wherever else, and we can't run that risk. We got to get that guy right now. That is the most likely outcome. Here's my conspiracy theory. Going into yesterday, the New England Patriots had the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and all they had to do was lose to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills to keep that pick. And what did they do? Not that.
Did Josh Allen play yesterday?
I don't know. I didn't watch this game because honestly, I didn't give a damn about it at all. I didn't care about this game at all. Why? Because this game, by the way, Rob Brown yesterday locked in a four-leg can't win parlay, right? Ordinarily, you go can't lose parlays. You look and you take like four minus 375, minus 450 parlays, like teams that just can't lose this game. Yesterday, I did the opposite. Yesterday, I picked teams that couldn't win. And by couldn't win, I mean literally would damage themselves if they did win. The Packers were one of them. They lost to the Bears because reasons. And the Patriots to lose. Because if they lost that game, they finished 3-14 and they have the number one overall pick. 23-16, the Patriots beat the Bills in this one, and they surrender the number one pick. By the way, no, Josh Allen did not play. Mitchell Trubisky got the win. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch a second of this game because it wasn't whether Josh Allen played or not. It wasn't whether the Bills played their starter or not. It was if the Patriots lose this game, they have the number one overall pick. If they give away this game, they get the number one overall pick. If they win this game, they don't. And they gave away the number one overall pick. My conspiracy theory is the New England Patriots looked at Jerod Mayo and they're like, dude, are you serious? Are you serious, bro? Are you for real? The number one pick was ours, and all you had to do was what everyone in America expected you to do and lose to the number two seed in the AFC. All you had to do was not this, and you get to stick around.
So you expected.
But no.
You expected them to let, come on, dude.
I expected them.
You expected
them,
Mitchell Trubisky to beat them.
I expected them.
Which I'm still surprised he's still in the league, aren't you? Because I didn't.
No, I mean, he's good enough to be a consistent backup. Okay. I got no issue with him being a consistent backup. What I expected.
You can't beat a poor New England team, though, can he?
What I expected was for this team to not go out there and bust hump to win the game. And I understand you got players and you got guys that are out there. You got players and you got guys that are fighting for roster spots and fighting for tape and all that. So how do you counter that? If you're a GM and a head coach, you go, we're throwing a couple of subs here and there. Maybe we run some pretty vanilla bland offense. We give guys a chance to make plays, but not in a way that helps us win the game. I'm not saying this is what they will do. I'm saying it's what they logically should do.
Yeah, except instead, for if you do that, then you are saying we're trying to throw this game.
Yes!
And so you don't, you don't do that because there are players out there who may be on their final year of a contract. They're looking to go somewhere else. They want to play to showcase themselves. They don't want to go sit on the bench while some guy who's not going to play is out there.
So what? So what? I'm not your friend. I'm your employer. It is best for the business. There's no other business where when we're kind of, the narrative is kind of being rewritten, but there's not many other places where I'm at a business go, hey, it's better for our business to go in this direction and you don't fit in anymore. Do we throw a riot? We just don't. That being said, Joe Milton's kind of a dog. 22 of 29, 241 yards in a touchdown, and was scrambling. Joe Milton probably, he only has 16 rushing yards on the books. Joe Milton probably had like 190 scrambling yards yesterday. Joe Milton might be a dog. That dude, like, legit, if I'm a team that needs quarterback, I might make a push for Joe Milton. I might go try to get that guy up out of the Patriots and see what he can do. Anyway, the Pats, 23-16 winners over the Bills. It cost themselves the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and they fired Gerard Mayo hours after that. So New England becomes the first team, well, aside from the Saints and the Jets and the Bears, become the first offseason team to toss their name into the head coaching search. Let's get to item number three. After the Detroit Lions knock off the Minnesota Vikings last night, our NFL schedule for the wild card weekend is set. The LA Chargers will open it up on the road at the AFC South champion Houston Texans. That game is on Saturday at 4:30 on CBS. Then the nightcap, we got an AFC North matchup as the Ravens capture the crown in the AFC North. They will host their rivals, I guess, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 8 p.m. Saturday night. That game is on Prime Video. Then on Sunday, a trio of games kicking off at 1 p.m. The Denver Broncos are on the road at the 2-seed, the Buffalo Bills. Denver, of course, gets the win over Kansas City's third stringers yesterday. They are at Buffalo at 1 p.m. The Green Bay Packers check in as a wild card team, the third of three NFC North teams. They will be on the road at Philadelphia at 4:30 on Fox, and then at 8 o'clock we wrap it up when soon-to-be-crowned Offensive Rookie of the Year Jaden Daniels and his Washington Commanders. But do we have to retire that now because they're not a bunch of morons anymore? Dan Snyder leaves, and they're immediately in the playoffs? I think we got to kill that chant, right?
Enjoy the name while you can, because all the rumors is it's going to be gone. So, the Commanders.
Oh, I mean, cool. Whatever. Like, do something cool. Right? Like, command. Honestly, I preferred
Washington. I'm seeing a lot of lawsuits and things if it's legitimate, trying to get it back to what it was.
Hey, it's not going to go back to that. I can go ahead and book you on that right now.
We'll see.
Ain't no chance it goes back to that. Anyway, the Washington Commanders, who I will not bums anymore, because they're not bums anymore. They're in the playoffs. They're on the road down at Tampa Bay, that one at 8 p.m. on NBC. And then we wrap it up with a little Monday Night Football as the wild card Minnesota Vikings out of the NFC North will head out to sunny South California to take on the Los Angeles Rams. That one at 8 p.m. on Monday. And by the way, have you ever watched somebody lose as much money as quickly as Sam Darnold did last night? Sam Darnold played himself out of a $100 million extension last night.
He can redeem himself.
No, he can't.
He's not done.
No, can't. Yes, he is, and I'll tell you why in the next segment. Bang! Two segues in one segment? I'm real good at this, you guys. I'll tell you why Sam Darnold lost $100 million last night. When we come back, Rob Brown, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I want to play you a quick soundbite that I grabbed this morning. And I don't do this all the time, but I felt like this one was kind of interesting. The MVP discussion has begun. I said I'm going to come to Sam Darnold. I am going to come to Sam Darnold. Stick with me here for a second. I was scrolling around social media last night because I'm a late night doom scroller. And I came across a clip from a up-and-coming podcast called Stuff About Sports. It's just some dudes. And I found a couple of their clips. Hey, they're good. I like them, to be honest. I'll probably check out some more of their stuff. But they were having a discussion on the Stuff About Sports podcast about the NFL MVP. And I play this for two reasons. Number one, because I've been saying this to you for a very long time now. And when I hear other people validate my take, because I have a gigantic ego, it makes me feel good about myself. I can put the self-doubt aside for just a moment. Number two.
I almost fell out of my chair. You said you had a gigantic ego.
I know. Shocking. I'm as humble as I am handsome, which is to say very. Number two, the reason I like this clip, aside from an excellent take and one that I've had for a very long time, is because it took place before the game last night, and the game last night was involved. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it for me. And this is why I've said this is not a Josh Allen love fest. Without Josh Allen, the Bills would have been cooked this year.
Just a question here. No, I'm not trying. I mean, because I don't know. I guess I could look it up. How many MVPs have won the Super Bowl the year that they won the MVP?
That's a great question. How many NFL MVPs won the Super Bowl in the same year? Let's ask AI. 11. But it goes back to 1966. Bart Starr did it. Bradshaw in 78. Mark Moseley in 82. LT in 86, Montana in 89, Emmett in 93, Steve Young in 94, Favre in 96, Terrell Davis in 98, Kurt Warner in 99, and Patrick Mahomes in 2022. So literally, one player has done it in this century.
Yeah, so why? Explain to me why the MVP matters.
It's just the title. Now, I'll tell you why a lot of people have it as a major discussion point, something that they love. The answer is because many people incorrectly believe that MVP is best player in the league. And it's not necessarily true. And as the host of the Stuff About Sports podcast just accurately pointed out, a lot of this depends on your definition of valuable, right? Because what I have learned, I knew this already because this conversation happens every year, but this year maybe more than others, is that some people think it should be the MSIP, the most statistically impressive player. If you think that it is the most statistically impressive player, then yeah, it's Joe Burrow, who led his team to a sub-500 final and did not make the playoffs. Now, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. Might as well be the damn war chant of this show, okay? Not a quarterback stat. But I also point out that when you are playing efficient quarterback, when you are playing well as a quarterback, it is easier for the other 10 guys on the offense to get you where you need to be. Josh Allen took less talent than the Bengals have consistently all year long, really? And got him to the two seed.
See, that's I disagree with you there because Cincinnati's defense is so bad, and it doesn't matter. It's a team sport.
If I ask you right now.
So overall, if the overall team is better, which Buffalo is, It goes against what your point is. First off,
I would actually push back that Buffalo is an objectively better football team talent-wise. I would push back on that.
On defense, definitely better.
No, no, no. We didn't say on defense. Overall team.
Defense does matter.
Because if
your defense is really good, it's easier to score and do things you need to on offense.
You're arguing against the point I didn't make. That's not the point I made. The point I made was, on paper, talent-wise, position to position, across the football team, I would push back that Buffalo is more talented than Cincinnati. Defense, you're absolutely correct, they are. But as a team top to bottom, which includes the offense, if I said right now that I'm making you the general manager of a team and you can start with Buffalo's offense or Cincinnati's offense, which one of those two offenses are you starting with?
I can't answer.
Because
I'm just going to go with Cincinnati's offense. It's because of the receivers.
Absolutely.
Which may or may not be intact next year.
I would say the receivers. I would say, honestly, the only positions that I would say aren't clearly better. I would say, you know how much I love me some Josh Allen. I'd say your level at quarterback. And I'd say the Bills are probably better at tight end with Kincaid and Knox than Mike Gesicki and Drew Sample in Cincinnati. But I think there's a better offensive line in Cincinnati. I know there's a better wide receiver core. Even with Amari Cooper, there's a better wide receiver core. And by the way, that doesn't take into consideration the fact that Amari Cooper's been banged up at times this year. He's hurt right now. Keon Coleman missed, almost half the season with a wrist injury, right? Like, Josh Allen not only has a lesser receiver core than Joe Burrow, he has a lesser receiver core. And the two top guys, Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper, have both missed multiple games with injuries. So he has barely had any games where he had his full complement of talent around him. I would make the argument, Joe Burrow has, no, not an argument, I would state the fact that Joe Burrow has a better offense built around him, at least talent-wise. Now, we can make an argument about coaching and play calling and all that, and again, Sean McDermott's still the coach, so I don't even know if that's a good one.
Look at the fact that the Bills' defense has kept them in game, so they didn't have to work as hard as Joe Burrow has
not
had
even
to,
pushing back to,
win,
against that.
To win games.
Not even pushing back against that. Not at all. But I would also make the point that I think the Bills' defense is definitively better. I would not argue against that. I would also not argue with the fact that I don't think the Bills have had to gut out as many wins as we're making it sound like they do. I don't think they did have to gut out some wins. I'm not arguing that they didn't. They had to gut out a win against the Dolphins earlier this year. They had to gut out a win against the Rams they lost to the Rams, that 44-42 L. If Josh Allen goes and gets you 42 points and your defense gives up 44, that ain't on Josh Allen. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. That's not on Josh Allen. They gutted out a win against Detroit. Gave up 42 in it, but Allen went and got you 48. Like, to me,
Burrow, without a doubt, should be the MVP. He's not going to be because it's a popularity contest. It's either going to be the quarterback for Baltimore or the quarterback for Buffalo. And in the end, will it matter? We'll see.
Once again, here's what I'm going to say. I shockingly, am not going to push back on, I'm going to push back because I don't agree. I'm giving it to Josh Allen, and I'm giving it over Lamar Jackson. And you know I got a man crush on Lamar Jackson, too. I really do.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah. I'm still giving it to Josh Allen, even with my man crush on Lamar Jackson. I got a man crush on Joe Burrow. Joey B is fresh. I love this cat. But it is not the most statistically impressive quarterback. And Burrow's got the statistically impressive award locked up. If we have one of those, in fact, if we want to create a Robbie for the most statistically impressive season, Joe Burrow's winning that thing. It's either Joe Burrow or Saquon Barkley are winning that thing, right? But that's not what the MVP is. It's valuable. And if it's valuable, guy that if you took him off the team, that team is cooked, Josh Allen's that guy. He's just that guy. Why did Sam Darnold play himself out? 52% rush rate against Sam Darnold last night. He was inaccurate on over 52% of his throws. He had multiple touchdowns in the bag, and he just missed guys.
You consider that getting back to Sam Darnold?
No.
Mention it on your way out.
No. Here's why. Because who did he remind you of? Kirk Cousins. What happened to Kirk Cousins? As soon as the talent went away, so did Kirk Cousins. Nobody's going to pay Sam Darnold to do what Kirk Cousins did in Atlanta this year. Show up for 2-3 weeks and then completely disappear.
Sam Darnold is an amazing backup quarterback. Way to go. He was not the starter at the beginning of the year, and he did what he did better than any other backup quarterback.
I completely agree. And then he looked like a backup when he was needed the most. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. That is the number to call into the show. That is also the number to text the show. We have got your Twitter poll of the day working this morning. Looking for your input. Are rivalries dead in the National Football League? Are rivalries dead in the NFL? You have three options to send your vote to 844-326-3663 on the text line. Option number one is yes. Option number two is to text no, rivalries are not dead. Or option number three is to text maybe and provide me with a rivalry if you think there is only one or two that you believe is still genuinely a rivalry. I think rivalries are dead. I think NFL rivalries are cooked. I think they had their time in the sun. You can blame it on free agency, that guys can hop a team every handful of years. You can blame it on the NFL discouraging it by limiting celebrations and all that good stuff. You can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. But I think NFL rivalries are cooked. And much like many of us all the time, it is only when something impacts you that you believe a thing. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm in that group. Something impacted me. Talked about it in the first hour. We're not going to get too deep down it now, but I am setting it up for the sake of getting this text poll up and running for the day. Last year, the New Orleans Saints ran up the score by the offense, ignoring Dennis Allen and scoring a touchdown so Jamal Williams could get his one and only TD on the year on the ground. And my then head coach, Dennis Allen, told the Atlanta Falcons that he was very sorry that we did that. I wasn't. Score 100. Then yesterday, the Buccaneers put the Saints down. It was over. The game was cooked. And Mike Evans needed 5 yards to reach 1,000 yards to put together 11 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, 3 fewer than Jerry Rice's record, and keep his quest alive and secure a $3 million bonus. The Saints played like a soft coverage defense on Mike Evans. I would have had like 7 guys on him. There is no way in hell I'm letting you get that 5 yards. And the fact that neither one of those things happened tell me rivalries are dead in the NFL. So my vote is yes, rivalries are dead. I'm looking for your input. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. Are rivalries dead in the NFL? Text yes, text no, or text maybe. And include, if you think there is only one or two true rivalries left, what you think that rivalry is. Got a couple of texts in so far. Texter said, hey, oh, it's Kane. Hey, Hot Rod and Gonzo, it's Kane. How about them Lions? They had Jefferson crying out there. Rivalries are dead between the teams. They're probably afraid that if they give that smoke, they'll be investigated by Roger Goodell and canceled by ESPN. And Popeyes is trash. Oh, Kane's going to my, I accidentally started a war on Twitter last night when I said that, and I am prepared to do it on the air because I'm 10 toes in when I'm standing on business. Popeyes is better than Bojangles. Fight me. Bojangles is good. It's good. But Popeyes is better than Bojangles. Fight me. I'm just objectively right here.
Why would someone fight someone over an opinion on chicken?
I found out on Twitter last night.
I don't understand that.
The fans of the Bojangles were quite upset with me last night over that take.
Were they people from around here?
Yes.
So, I mean, because chicken is regional, just like other restaurants are kind of regional.
Yeah, and some people do it better than others,
and
like
Bojangles
Popeyes
is regional, and Popeyes is kind of fringe. especially here. It's very fringe. That's why if it were not fringe, it would be everywhere, and it's only in certain select places.
No, it's not fringe. So it's regional. It's just like you said, that's the definition of regional.
In South Carolina, it's fringe. Bojangles are everywhere. Popeyes, you have to go find one. So, yeah, I mean, that's
proof. And yet they're still better.
That's proof right there. No, the better one, there's more of that because there's bigger demand. Popeyes is so fringe, hardly anybody wants it, and they put it in obscure places. I mean, because they can't put it in a place where people would actually go pass it by and go, nah, where's the Bojangles?
No, if you're passing Popeyes to go to Bojangles, you're wrong. You're just doing it wrong. According to AI, as of quarter one, 2023, Popeyes has 2,948 restaurants in the United States. Bojangles has 818.
Okay, how many are in South Carolina? How many are in South Carolina?
They only doubled them up.
All right, you can talk louder than me, but you're going against my point, which was it is regional, and in this region, in where we are right now, how many Bojangles are there compared to how many Popeyes there are?
That doesn't establish who's better. It just establishes how many more there are.
I asked when you started the thing, I asked you, who were you having arguments with? Was it people in this area?
Oh, yeah,
and you
sure.
said yes.
Yeah.
Which is proof of my point.
That it's regional?
Yes.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah, but you just went, well, it's better because it's in all these places. Yeah, it's all over the place, but here it's not because it's fringe here. And it's a Bojangles place, and they're never going to overtake it.
No, okay. So there's a difference between it's better versus the opinion of the people around here.
If it were better, the demand would be greater, and they would make more. That's how capitalism works. They would go, okay, more people want this. Let me put this in more places where those people can get this.
That means,
but people aren't going, where's my Popeyes? No, they're going, where's my Bojangles? And then they're going to it.
That doesn't make it better. That makes it the opinion around here that's better.
It does make it. Right. Which was the whole point. Around here, it's better.
Right. But I'm saying those people are wrong. All right. Let's get to Corn Chip says, Bojangles' only good thing is the Boberry Biscuits. I'm going to give them credit. The Boberry Biscuits are pretty solid. The Boberry Biscuits are like 10 out of 10 for sure. UNC Chris said, this is the correct number. I've been using the old one for weeks now. It's the correct number as of last Thursday.
Listen, Rob hasn't been giving it out enough.
Every segment.
I don't think you're emphasizing it like you should be.
844-326-6363. That is the text number. Did I emphasize it enough there? I feel like I emphasized it enough there.
Maybe if you did it with your glasses off.
No, that would be de-emphasized. All right. Got a couple more things I wanted to get to here as we wrap up hour number one. We have talked about the MVP. Now another clip and a clip that I have been hanging on to for a hot minute here. Jason Kelce and his wife, who I adore, now have a late-night talk show on ESPN. And I have not gotten to watch the full first episode of it yet, but I'm going to. And I'm going to because one of their first interviews was with Chuck Barkley. Yeah, I'm going to watch Jason Kelce and Chuck Barkley shoot the bleep.
Yeah, because they golf together. So, of course, that's one of his
don't care why.
Things. Yeah, yeah.
It's also because they're two of the most amusing personalities on television in the sportosphere. That's why. Anyway, they apparently, during this show, are going to do...
Just don't have your phone out around, you know, Jason.
Or don't call his brother homophobic slurs.
You might break it and then never pay for it.
Or don't call people homophobic slurs because, hey... Around, find out.
Yeah, he said the same thing back to the guy several times.
Yeah, so, I think he was saying, don't say that. Don't call him that.
No, that's not what he said.
All right, anyway, it doesn't matter
what he said.
We're not going on because one Kelce got disrespected because another Kelce exists. Chuck Barkley was on the Jason Kelce late night talk show, and Chuck Barkley was the interview, and a fan member asked Chuck Barkley a question that I... don't know that I would have ever thought to ask Chuck Barkley, but now that somebody did, I'm really glad to know the answer. So now we know why it is that Chuck Barkley hates Galveston, Texas, because he got flat out lied to. He said, I want to stay in Phoenix. They traded him. He's like, all right, Houston will be all right. They got a beach. He showed up to Galveston, and they got that dirty ass water.
He didn't get lied to. He said the training camp's at the beach. They didn't say it was a good beach.
That is fair. They didn't say it was a good beach. But if it's not a good beach, it's not a beach. Then it's just a shore. All right. You ever notice they call it the Jersey Shore and not New Jersey Beach? You know why? Because nobody wants to go to a shore. You want to go to a beach.
Isn't
it's important
it,
you get this
it
right.
A shore just a place with no sand, just landings?
No, a shore is a place that you don't want to go, and a beach is a place that you do. I'm pretty sure that's the only big difference. That's the primary difference. We got time?
Sure.
Sure. Who we got?
Let's go to Creed.
Creed, welcome back into the show, big fella. Good to have you.
Hey, it'll be quick, and it's just common sense. The NFL, if they had any sense at all, the tiebreaker system, one thing you could change that would have made two big games yesterday is the division to catch a tie in the division. It's not just it's head-to-head, but the second game means more. In other words, if you sweep, that's fine. But if you split, whoever wins the second game, they get the tiebreaker. That would have meant L.A. and Seattle yesterday would have been for the division. In fact, you know, if you get lucky, you could have four or five games at the last game of the year that could be for the division, because the second head-to-head would be the tiebreaker, not just – in other words, if you split, it doesn't matter. It's the one who wins the second game.
I get where you're going with it.
It would only be in the division title. But yesterday, it would have made Seattle, Los Angeles, Rams a heck of a game, because that would have been for the division.
I get where you're coming from. The thought. Let me think about that, Creed. I've never actually thought about that before, and I appreciate it, Big Dog. Good take. Let me think about that. It's an interesting concept, and it's an interesting thought. But I would want to think about that in terms of what implications does it have for the conferences at large, because it would be a thing that impacts the entire NFL. Let me think about that. I appreciate that call. Thank you very much, Creed. Great to have you back on the show, buddy. Let me think about that. All right. We've got plenty more to get to. I got your audio blitz. I got a handful more sound segments that I'm going to play for you coming up in the next segment of the show. We got John Blau with the Post and Courier coming up in about 40 minutes from right now to talk a little Clemson athletics. All of that after Lonzo gives you everything you've ever dreamed of in the Sports Flash.
If your dreams are nightmares. The NFL's Black Monday has arrived, though one team didn't wait to fire their head coach. The New England Patriots released first-year head coach Gerard Mayo. The Patriots finished 4-13. That's not good, by the way. But defeated the Bills yesterday, 23-16, which surrendered the first overall draft pick. The Patriots are expected to be working on the hiring of another former Patriot, former Tennessee coach Mike Vrabel, as Mayo's replacement. Week one of the NFL playoffs are scheduled. The wild card round kicks off this Saturday when the Chargers visit the Texans at 4:30 and the Steelers take on Baltimore at 8. On Sunday, the Broncos visit the Bills. The Packers travel to Philadelphia and Tampa Bay hosts Washington. Monday night, the Vikings take on the Rams in L.A. Tune in this Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus the Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.